Next up on the Renaissance Man podcast, we have Oscar-winning rapper, songwriter, producer, actor, entrepreneur, and now author, Juicy J. Coming up, I talked to Juicy J about the most shocking moment he had on tour. What was it like putting together his memoir, Chronicles of the Juice Man, and how he looks back on the legacy of his legendary group, 3-6 Mafia. Up next, Juicy J. Let's go. Hi, I'm Jalen Rose, and welcome to the Renaissance Man podcast, proudly presented by the New York Post, a show where we cover trends in fashion, entertainment, current events, and everything in between. Be sure to share this podcast, current episodes, previous episodes, the topics that you loved, the guests that you admire. Make sure you're sharing this show with your friends, your coworkers, your mate, your siblings, your kids. Share it with someone, anyone that you know can use some of this. Good old-fashioned soul food. This week's theme is pretty straightforward. Level up. Wherever you are on your journey, I want you to take a second, take a moment, and appreciate where you are right now. I'm always here to encourage gratitude for what you've accomplished and the life you've made for yourself and your family. But two things can be true at the same time. You can be thankful for what you have, but you can also want to level up. And as one of our guests, the great American philosopher, Ricky Rose, once taught us all, appreciate your position while plotting your promotion. Let your ambition fuel you, because there's always, always another level, another goal, another notch on the ladder that's just within your grasp. It's right there in your reach. And I get it. I know it's very easy to stay in your comfort zone. You're in a relationship, but you're not happy. You're at a job, but you're not fulfilled. Do you have the courage to be happy? But in order to level up, you have to let go of your fear. You need to bet on yourself. Ask for that raise that you know you've earned. Apply to the school of your dreams. You know why? Because you can. Get up on that stage like Biggie, because you have a story to tell. And after you've achieved all that, guess what? You gotta keep going to the next level. My next guest has achieved these titles: Oscar-winning rapper, songwriter, producer, actor, and entrepreneur who took his career to the next level by going solo, then by becoming an author. Juicy J is a trailblazer of Southern hip hop and undoubtedly one of the movement's most influential figures. His life and music career with the legendary 3-6 Mafia is documented in his new memoir, Chronicles of the Juice Man. And he's not leaving anything out. Coming up, I talked to Juicy J about winning an Academy Award for his music, who he still wants to collaborate with next, and how he feels about the impact that his work has had on a generation of hip-hop fans. Up next, Juicy J. It is my honor to welcome the incredibly talented Juicy Jay to the show. What up, though, my brother?
What's up, man? I'm good, man. How about yourself?
Good, good. I appreciate you taking the time. I'm a huge fan. And just so you know, as a Detroiter, we got a huge connection with Memphis. So it seems like all of my friends, family, and cousins represent Memphis directly and indirectly. So it's only right if I ask you, tell me how the city of Memphis shaped you and what was it like for you as a kid?
Memphis is such a gangster city. It just made me into a go-getter, you know what I'm saying? Real hustler. Never giving up on my dreams because I was trying my best to make it out of the streets. And then also gave me like musical talent. You know, they Stax Records started in Memphis, B.B. King, Elvis Presley, a lot of great musicians. So just overall with all that, with the blues, the sound of the blues, Beale Street, all that, the influence. Here I am, Juicy J, you know what I'm saying? Just when I was growing up, I always used to listen to a lot of artists from Stax Records and try to follow in their footsteps. Like Isaac Hayes is one of my favorites.
The legendary Isaac Hayes. Yes. It's a lot of platinum plaques, a lot of gold records on the wall. So tell me, when did you know that you wanted to be into music?
I probably was like, I could have been 6 or 7, or maybe 10. I used to watch this TV show called Sha Na Na.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was influenced by the TV show. And that's what made me want to be in music. I wanted to be a producer and a singer, songwriter, kind of like just like Isaac Hayes and Barry White. And when I first heard the Sugar Hill Gang, that's what got me interested in rap. But like I say, before then, I was always one. Ever since I watched Sha Na Na, I just wanted to be this producer, musician. That was my love.
And because you were part of one of the greatest, most legendary groups of all time, I want to drill down on something that represents rap music and hip hop to the fullest. You mentioned Isaac Hayes. You mentioned B.B. King. Just talk about their influence on Memphis.
Man, they got a lot of influence on Memphis. B.B. King, I believe they still got that restaurant down. He had a restaurant down. I actually seen him perform live. Rest in peace.
Wow.
At his restaurant.
Wow.
Yeah, I met Isaac Hayes at the car wash before. And then when we shot the movie Hustle and Flow, I met him on the set. And I had just bought this Maybach, and I was driving around in Memphis, and he was in the car. He jumped in the car with me, and we just talked about old times and stuff. And he told me how he used to ride around in Memphis, and he had a gold-plated Cadillac.
Mm. And for the youngsters out there that may or may not know, please align us with the origin of the group, the members of the group, and how you came up with the name.
We all came up with the name. Lord Evan was, he was like lead rapper of the group. He was doing a record. He was rapping. He said the 666 thugs. And we took that word 666 and just came up with 666 Mafia. Me, Paul, and Lord Evan. We was the first members of the group. Me, Paul, and Lord Evan was the first members of the group of 666 Mafia. Then we pulled in a bunch of other people. And it was like 20 people in the group. And then we sized it down to 6 people. And then that was like the original, like Gangsta Boo, Koopsta, Crunchy Black, and me and Paul, and Lord Infamous. So it was 6 people in the group. So it was 666 Mafia. And then we got a lot of doors slammed in our face because people was like, oh, that's the devil. That's this, that's that. Y'all guys are crazy. So we had to change it to 36 Mafia. We didn't really have to change it, but I felt like we should have changed it because we was trying to do something bigger than just be underground. We want to dominate the underground and take it all the way up to take it up a notch. So we changed it to 36 Mafia, and here we are.
For every entertainer, for every athlete, for every artist, there's a moment and likely a song. What record, when you guys were in studio, did you hear and know this is what's going to help take us to the next level?
Miss a lot of those songs. I mean, we had a lot of great records. I would say, as far as like our biggest song, I would say Stay Fly, because It was like a club record, and then it was still kind of more like radio friendly too. You know, they could play it on the radio too, and it was super catchy. I mean, like, you know, Stay Fly. I mean, everybody was saying that. So that record, we had a lot of great records. Don't get me wrong. We had Riding Spinners and Sipping on Some Scissors, but that record actually just took us to the next level on a bigger scale. You know, we started coming to California a little bit more, doing shows in California, doing shows everywhere. People was calling for us to do shows overseas. So we went overseas and toured, and it was off that Stay Fly, that album that we dropped that had Stay Fly on it. Most
And you
known.
guys have a crazy stage show. I've seen you guys perform multiple times. Can you, for our audience, enlighten them one of your favorite memories of being on tour?
Wow, man. We've had so many. I would say what was very different for me is when we went to Japan. And, like, you know, everybody, they were speaking in, you know, their language. And then when Slob on Knob came on, we dropped the song. They knew all the words. They didn't know too much English, but they knew all the words to Slob on Knob. They were saying the words in English and everything. I was shocked. I was like, wow. And the whole club went crazy. And this was in Japan. And this could have been probably like 2008, maybe, when I was over there.
That's
And
crazy.
yeah, that was shocking to me. That I was blown away by that. I was like, wow.
What other artists or performers have you guys been on a bill with and all of a sudden got a chance to meet them, watch them perform, and knew, wow, we've arrived?
What you mean, like, be like featured with?
Yep, like other people that was on shows, but you got other groups, other acts that all of a sudden you like, wait a minute, they fans of ours? They know our name?
Man, that's pretty much everybody we done been around, you know. Like back in the day, we used to do like little radio promo shows with Destiny Child, and I remember Kelly Rowland was telling me that she was like, "Hey, I love your music. I love y'all music." And I was, you know, I was shocked, you know, to have to see an R&B group. You know, they said they like 3 6 Mafia. You know what I'm saying? This is way back in the day. This was when Destiny Child was first getting started. And you know, stuff like that would shock me though when I hear R&B singers say, even like 112, they was like, "Man, we love y'all music and stuff like that." I was shocked. I didn't just, you know, I didn't think everybody listened to you know, 3 6 Mafia, because, you know, that stuff was real super underground.
No doubt.
It wasn't on the radio that much, and you know, back in the day, a lot of people didn't embrace it as much. You know, it was just like straight underground music. But you know. UGK, Pimp C, Bun B, they embraced us. They're like, "Man, we love y'all music. Put y'all music," you know, stuff like that. Which is, it was cool. Even like Outkast, you know what I'm
No.
saying? Outkast, you know, big, you know, Outkast always been this big crossover group. And back in the day, it was just like super huge. And when they reached out for one of our members in the group, Gangsta Boo, to rap on one of their songs, we were shocked. We was like, "Wow, man, that's dope." You know, because we were just underground.
Right.
We may have maybe one record that got a little bit of radio play, and a, you know, a little radio play in Atlanta, Memphis, and that pretty much was it. You know, maybe Mississippi, Arkansas, but we weren't no national, big national group till we came out with, like, I would say Stay Fly really just took us to the next level, you know.
Absolutely. And but that's what artists to me miss nowadays is you guys were able to stay true to your voice, stay true to your sound, stay true to your audience. And then all of a sudden, mainstream had to come to you, not the other way around. And I remember when Hustle and Flow was out, and I appreciated the shine that Memphis got in so many ways. And then all of a sudden, you guys hit record, won an Oscar. You got an Oscar. Talk about that period of your life when you were part of that movie, and all of a sudden you standing on stage winning one of the most coveted awards in the history of entertainment.
Man, I want to say, man, like, it's still amazing right now. You know what I mean? We had one of the most longest Oscar parties of all time when we lived in L.A. And rest in peace, John Singleton, for reaching out to us, and Craig Brewer. You know, shout out to Craig Brewer from Memphis, Tennessee. He wrote and directed the movie. John Singleton produced the movie. We was the first people they reached out to do music in the movie. And man, like I knew something was gonna be special about the movie. And we did our thing on it. We wrote a few songs on there, and one of them got nominated, and we ended up performing and winning. God is great, man. It's a blessing, man. Like your dreams do come true, bro. Like real shit. Like whatever you dream and whatever you work hard for, it's gonna come
No
true.
question. And you guys are really talented and disciplined in order for it to happen by staying true to your sound. I have to ask you, and rest in peace, the legend, John Singleton. I'm glad you brought him up. What do you remember most about the longest Oscar party that's ever taken place?
Ooh. Playboy Mansion. The parties at the Playboy Mansion, man. That was,
Been there, been there.
yeah, that's some wild stuff, man. You know about it. Some wild. Woo. Such great
That's
people,
what's
though,
up.
man. So
That's what's up.
good, man.
And also, like memories like that for those who may or may not know, and I talked about it in the introduction, you have your memoir coming out right now. And congratulations.
Yes.
As a fellow author, I know there's so many things personally, professionally, that we keep on the inside. And at some point, we feel like this is the time that I want to share my story. So why now do you feel like it was your chance, your time to share your story?
You know, I really never put a timing on it because I always wanted to write a book maybe like a couple of years ago. And we went actually, me and my manager, we went shopping around different companies. And we just ran into, my homeboy, Soren Baker. I've been knowing him for years. He helped me write the book. And then we made all the connections through him, and everything just came together, man. So here it is. You know, it never was like a timeline. Like I got to write my movie when I'm this, this age or this year or that. I just did it, and it was weird. It came out, this year. It just came out September 5th, 50 year of hip hop, which I wasn't even paying attention. I don't know when hip hop was created or when it's, man, I know it was around like in the late 80s, 70s, late 70s or whatever. But I really didn't. I don't really think about stuff like that. I just felt like as we was writing the book. I was dealing with a lot. As I was writing the book. My mom had got cancer. She passed away. I was still writing the book. In tears, and it just came out, this year. So everything just kind of came together, really. It wasn't a plan.
Chronicles of the Juice Man, and I want to applaud you, my brother, because as somebody that lost his mother the last couple of years, I heard the pain when you said I was crying and writing the book. And I want to thank you for being radically honest about all of the obstacles you've overcome. I've seen a couple of your interviews. I watched you on the Breakfast Club. You
Thank you.
mentioned the loss of your mother, group members, substance abuse, mental health issues, and the ever-changing music industries, and just flat out all of the trappings of success. So, how has this book helped you process those hardships and keep on going?
Letting everything out, man. I feel like I'm, if I can help somebody, man, because there's a lot of people that have these issues, and not just in music, outside of music, and go through drug abuse and just, everything, mental health, all that. So if I could just touch some lives, man, I feel like we all here for a purpose, and our purpose is to help people and just try to, get people closer to God if we can. So that's the mission I'm on right now.
I admire that a lot. And there's so many people in particular in the inner city where you're from, like Memphis, me from Detroit, people that look like us. When you say, what do you want to be for a living? They say an entertainer. They say an athlete. They say they want to be an artist. Can you talk to the public about some of the sacrifices and some of the things you've overcome as it relates to turbulence that allowed you to understand that this is what you really want to do and you were not going to be denied?
Yeah, when I was coming up as a youngster, I was just, I lost a lot of friends, bro. Like, I lost a lot of friends, and just because I was on a different kind of path than them. Some people was on, going left, doing street stuff. And, I've been in the street life and, done a few things, made a few moves, but that wasn't my goal to keep doing that. My goal was to be successful in music and keep going. So I lost a lot of friends. A lot of people just, we went on the same page. Even though we was good friends, we just went on the same page, and different things too, like even investing in myself. Like I sold my car for studio time back in the day. You have to invest in yourself. You have to Have patience. You know, I worked a real job too. You know, I know what it feels like to catch a bus or walk from home to work and back and punch a clock. I understand the whole process. So you got to really try to stay focused. Some people let themselves go. I never really let myself go. Mm-hmm. I was close. I was close getting there, but I just never let myself go. I just stayed focused, stayed praying, stayed hustling, stayed on the grind, and I didn't let nobody stand in my way. And anybody that was on the wrong page, I just distanced myself, you know. And like I said, I lost a lot of friends, man. Like, you know, a lot of friends I had, I just couldn't hang around them because they was on, you know, demon time.
Right, right. Yeah. And people see the success now. They understand that you've become a legend, but I always want to highlight those things because there's always going to be challenges that we need to overcome. And young people, I want y'all to listen to what he just said. He's overcome losses. He's had to reinvent himself. He's continued to work hard and be disciplined for his goals to happen. So I got to ask you, Juice Man, because not many people could come on this show and just have plaques on plaques on plaques on the wall. So I got to ask you, what are some of those plaques you got hanging up on the wall?
Man, I got all kinds of stuff. I got bands that make a dance. I got records I produced. We got, I think it's a Young Buck album back there. I mean, that's just some of my stuff. And I got plaques. Man, I can go for days, man. I got plaques everywhere, man. I got plaques all on the wall over here. Just here. It's just so many plaques, man. God has been great. You know, I've been staying focused, man. Just staying focused, and I've been working. And every time I turn around, I get a new plaque in the mail. You know, I get plaques with the big S.
Exactly.
So, that's what it's all about, man. You know, motivating people, man. Keeping them moving and motivated.
And as we talk about motivation, it's only right I have to ask you this. Can you please name your top five Southern rap artists?
Project Pat, number one. Andre 3000, number two. Jeez, man, so many, man. Lil Wayne. Bun B. Bun B got lyrics, man.
No question. Bars.
Bars, man. Bars. I mean, is that four?
Yup.
Man, it's so many. Let me see. T.I.
Ooh,
T.I.
That list. I'm glad you just did that because as you were telling me that list, I was thinking that list can stand up to anybody anywhere at any time.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to revisit that because that Southern list can stand up to anybody anytime. So that also has me thinking, like, if somebody was going to Memphis, getting introduced to Memphis, can you please give them some of the lingo, some of the places they would go eat? Like, give us a snapshot of Memphis for those that hope to visit one day.
Oh, yeah, man. It's a lot of places out there, man. They got Interstate Barbecue. They got Jack Purdo's. Man, they got, they got so many. They got Gus Fried Chicken Spot, Rendezvous. And there's so many places out there, man. There's so many places. Maybe this is a big city, man. Just be careful. Keep your strap on you.
No doubt. And also, I have to ask you as a veteran, I love Ja Morant. I got a chance to interview him after he had his initial meeting with Commissioner Silver. We know he had a little turbulence since then, but yeah. I already know Lil Bro going to be back this year, all NBA, and Memphis about to be one of the top teams in the West and contending. And a lot of people was talking about the influence of music because a couple of the songs he was dancing to was NBA Youngboy. What do you feel about the impact and the influence of music on your audience and on the culture?
I mean, music is everything. It's in movies, it's in sports, it's in everything, man. I mean, even weddings, they're playing rap music at weddings now. You know, I keep hearing player after weddings and stuff. But I mean, I think everybody their own person, man. I mean, like, we all make mistakes in life, man. You know what I'm saying? We can't hold it against anybody, man. Like, he did what he did. He made some mistakes. He's a young guy. You know, when I was around his age, I made so many mistakes. I probably made more than him.
Preach.
pray.
So I don't think we should throw anybody underneath the bus or even try to judge. I think we should just pray for our brother.
Yep.
And keep moving forward. You know, I think everything gonna be okay.
I totally agree. And don't be surprised if we see each other at a Grizzlies game this year or two, because I'm definitely gonna get down there to go represent my little brother when he get back from his suspension. And I also have to ask you this. As we celebrate 50 years of hip hop, which started in 1973, and the reason why I know is that's the year I actually was born. And I just see Nas turn 50 as well. Yeah. What are your hopes for the future of hip hop?
My hopes for the future, I just hope we can do some, I hear a lot of people trying to be like each other and trying to sound like each other. I hope we can do some different things, you know, like somebody be original with their style and not even worry about what somebody else is doing. Just do whatever comes to mind. You know, I feel like now we need to have it's a little bit different stuff, you know, different sounding beats, different sounding flows, stuff like that. That's all. Because, you know, when I was coming up with 3 Six Mafia, we called our album Mystic Styles when our first album, because we all had different kind of styles. I didn't want to be like Lord Infamous didn't want to be like me. You know, we all had our different styles, and I think that what made us stick out because we had our thing. Like when you seen Juicy J, when you seen Lord Infamous, you know, you seen Lord Infamous, you knew who stood out. Because, oh, that's Lord Infamous. He does that triplet flow. The Juicy J, he got the choppy flow. You know, Paul has his flow, Gangsta Boo, Crunchy. We all had our different styles, and I feel like these days, you know, a lot of music don't sound too different. A lot of it sounds the same, which is right. Cool. You know, I still love it. But, I mean, I'm just waiting to hear what somebody else got. Somebody else going to bring something different to the table, then I'm willing to listen, you know?
No doubt. Like you earned the right to say that because you're a writer. You're a producer. You've worked on all sides of the game. And so, and you're a seasoned veteran. And that's what's going to allow the space to continue to grow, that creativity.
Yep.
Before I let you get out of here, Juicy J, I have a rapid-fire segment called Gone in 60 Seconds. You ready to do this?
Let's get it.
Who is someone that you have not collaborated with that you still hope to in the future?
Lady Gaga. I got two. Lady Gaga and Adele.
I'm have to hit up my guy Rich Paul. We need to make that happen. That'd be dope.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Which album or single that you've worked on that you're actually the most proud of?
Ooh, which album was I would say it's a lot of stuff that I'm proud of in 3 Six Mafia, but as far as like my solo stuff, the way Bands Make a Dance, the Stay Trippy album. That was a great album. It was a great experience for me. I came up with that song, and you know, I didn't think nobody was gonna dig me as a solo artist. I wasn't even really just trying to be a solo artist. I was just really just trying to keep the 3 Six Mafia name and the whole vibe rolling, and it happened, man. Like overnight, damn near. You know, I woke up and all of a sudden, the song was number one. It was underground. It hadn't been hadn't even been on the radio. Nowhere like worldwide, but Atlanta was playing like crazy, and it popped in the charts, and it was underground. It wasn't even on that was before streaming. It wasn't even on Apple Music or nothing like that. Well, Apple. And that's when we had to download buy. It wasn't even on there, no CDs, none of that stuff. It was just like mixtapes, you know, in the street, and it blew up. And I worked on my album, and it went gold. It was crazy. It happened so fast.
Also. Please name one artist that you think has now and next.
I would say a Yeet. Yeet. Yeet's dope. I think he has now and I think he has next.
I'm making sure y'all check that out. I'm going to have to check him out. Where are you from? Give me a snapshot about who that is.
I think he might be from LA. I don't know too much about him. I know, you know, he got dope music. His music is hard. I don't know too much about his background, but his music is really dope.
And see, that's as genuine as it gets, y'all. Being a fan of the artist, keep his ear to the street, understanding who's got now and who's got next. And lastly, but certainly not least, what would you say is your favorite memory? What was your favorite memory to revisit in your memoir?
My favorite memory to revisit. I would say when we won the Oscar, we went to Prince's house.
Oh, you
And
got to give us a Prince story. You got to tell
well,
me that story.
this is funny because he had a party and we pulled up, we're like, hey, we just won an Oscar, we're trying to get in Prince party, Oscar party. He said no. And I didn't really care, man. It was just the idea. I was like, man, Prince just, I didn't even see him. Somebody came out, they talked to us and they went back in and asked him, could we come in? And he said no. They said, hey man, Prince said y'all can't come in. But I was just like, I grew up listening to Prince and I'm a big fan of Prince. Like I wanted to be like Prince, like he was like one of my first, after Sha-na-na, like Prince is like, oh, this dude can play piano, guitar. I want to be just like Prince.
Right.
I didn't even care, man. I just felt like, oh man, Prince just turned us down. I thought it was funny, but
Right.
I would love to relive that moment because if I could relive that moment, man, if I can get the second time to do that, I would get out the car and I'd be like, hold up, man, fuck that, I'm going inside.
You
No,
let me, and we won tonight also.
I got to at least get a picture, man. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt, no doubt. Chronicles of the Juice Man out right now. Juicy J. Legendary 3-6 Mafia, Oscar-winning rapper, songwriter, producer, actor, and entrepreneur. Much love, my brother, and continued success.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you. Thank you. Same to you, man. You know what I'm saying? You still out here. We still out here OG as OG's doing it.
Thank you, family. Appreciate that. I'd like to thank Juicy J for stopping by the podcast. And don't forget to check out his new memoir, Chronicles of the Juice Man, wherever you get your books. One thing that stuck out to me about the Juice Man is how honest he is about his own story. He's being real about navigating grief, growing up in Memphis, and recovering from substance abuse. It's pretty easy to sweep the hard parts of our journey under the rug. But Juicy J knows that every obstacle, every lesson is actually what shapes us. As a best-selling author myself, I know how tough it can be to lay out your own story in writing for the world to see. I celebrate his vulnerability. You know why? That takes real courage. So I ask you this. What are the parts of your story that have shaped you? What are the hurdles that you faced and overcome? What experiences made you who you are today? Whatever they are, remember that you're capable of so much more than you would ever know. So do this, please, for me. Keep climbing, keep pushing forward on your path to greatness. I'm the Renaissance Man. See you next week.